Under the Sun on WLRN tells the stories of South Florida, on the air and online. I'm Dan Grutch.
And I'm Alicia Zuckerman.
That is Romel Joseph, the Haitian violinist. Remind me what the name of that song is?
My Favorite Things from The Sound of Music.
Of course. Romel Joseph was trained in Juilliard. He went back to Haiti, his homeland, to start a music school. And it was that music school that fell on him during the earthquake and had him trapped.
He says that while he was waiting to be rescued, he survived by playing all the concertos he knew in his head.
Joseph was treated at Jackson Memorial Hospital for crushed legs and two severe fractures in his left hand, and his doctors said that he might never play the violin again.
What you're hearing now is Romel playing from Jackson Memorial Hospital. It was the first time since the earthquake that he played for anyone other than his doctors. It was recorded by the Miami Herald's Hannah Sampson. Just a few days after the earthquake, a group of South Florida planners gathered in Sunny Isles Beach for the annual meeting of the American Planning Association's Gold Coast chapter. Now, the timing of this was just a complete coincidence.
Oliver Kerr helped run that meeting.
And I said, you know, yes, we plan for the year ahead, but let's talk about the situation in Haiti and what we as planners here in Miami-Dade County need to do to help our friends in Haiti.
We asked Under the Sun's Kenny Malone to look into what progress has been made since January.
A large blue excavator hovers over an enormous mound of concrete debris. It scoops from the pile and unloads into a dump truck. Eventually, a new road will emerge from the rubble. It's exactly the scene developer J.R. Bergeron wants to see on the ground in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The only problem? Bergeron and this scene are not in the ground in Haiti. He's on a four-mile stretch of interstate in Broward County. In Port-au-Prince, he's waiting.
And not just am I waiting, the Haitian people are waiting. I mean, I can wait forever. Obviously, we're standing here right next to 595 right now, I-595, which I have a $100 million contract here. I'm not starving. They are.
Bergeron is vying for a contract in Haiti to build new roads, pave new runways, and recycle debris. Not just any contract, the mother load.
Mother load, yes.
But 6 months after the earthquake, reconstruction efforts have stalled, and Bergeron waits.
I think the Haitian people need to be working right now, making money for themselves so they can feed their families. And of course, temporary housing, because everybody's walking around in a tent and the tropical storms are coming, and it's just going to get worse. So yeah, that's my main concern.
In March, 150 nations pledged more than $5 billion to rebuild Haiti. Construction firms from around the world, and particularly in nearby South Florida, began jockeying for those funds. Bergeron, a developer in Pembroke Pines, partnered with a cement importer from Haiti to make his pitch. Ashbrit Environmental of Pompano Beach went ahead and just shipped debris removal equipment to Haiti as they await a deal. Even Miami-based Royal Caribbean's cruise company bid on housing contracts. But only a fraction of the money pledged to Haiti has actually been doled out. Critics say Haiti's government needs to move faster. But Prime Minister Jean-Max Bellerive told WLRN his hands are tied.
It's clear that if we don't have the money, there is no point to coordinate. So we need the money first.
Bellerive said a few contracts have been handed out to build two bridges in Gonaive.
When I look at that one, that's the fourth generation.
Miami Beach-based Innovita sells prefabricated houses made from a flexible synthetic material that is fireproof, waterproof, and earthquake resistant.
It's all this one material, Innovita plus glue. That's all. Now let me show you this.
To design a shelter for Haiti, Innovita enlisted the help of one of Miami's top architects, Andres Duani.
Everybody should be encouraged massively to do their thing. All sorts of, low-tech, high-tech, whatever. The one thing I would object to is stuff that is not a good cultural fit, like people coming in with polygonal dome structures, stuff like that, that probably is not culturally adequate, either for the climate or the way that people live or their self-image,
To create the structure, Duani flew to Haiti and studied how people use their homes. In the end, he designed a simple rectangular hut the size of a shipping container. The entrance is a panel propped open by a stick, like a concession stand at a fairground. Innovita donated 1,000 of these shelters to Haiti, but even that's been tricky. While tens of thousands of Haitians live in tents, Duani says most of the donated shelters sit in storage, because land ownership in Haiti is a mess.
So you might build a house on a lot that maybe looks empty or has been empty to give to somebody, and then somebody might show up and say, sorry, that's my lot. So it's very hard to establish ownership, and that's holding things up tremendously.
Innovita has made some headway by working with partners in Haiti who can help determine who owns the land. It's an isolated success story in a reconstruction process that, by all accounts, has been marked by long, long waits. Haitian-American political consultant Marie Bell advises businesses on how to do business in Haiti. Here's her advice. Everything in Haiti is slower. Plan on only 2 meetings a day. Get to know your business partners first. Take them out to eat, meet their families, then talk business. Court Haiti, just like a man would court a woman.
And, you know, he sends you the flowers, he takes you out to dinner, and then you fall in love. So that's Haiti. You just fall in love with Haiti.
Bell says once American businesses get a foot in the door in Haiti, they're in for life. Back at his highway project in Broward County, developer J.R. Bergeron is courting Haiti in his own unconventional way. He stands with two young Haitian men, Henry Joseph and James Delva. Bergeron says until he can train Haitian workers in Haiti, he'll do it right here on I-595.
When they learn how to run the equipment, once they get off the shovels and starting just like I started, you know what I mean, right from the ground up, you learn your way how to do it, and then you can take that experience on for life and do it anywhere.
Bergeron helped Joseph and Delva get temporary protected status, which will allow them to live and work in the U.S. for at least another year. If Bergeron hits the mother lode, he says he'll donate 5% of his profits to an orphanage in Haiti that his family's been supporting for more than a decade, the same orphanage where Joseph and Delva once lived. Joseph looks on as the excavator scoops up chunks of concrete.
What kind of a machine is it?
I don't really know, because I'm very new to the job.
You'll learn soon.
Yeah, I know I will.
You'll be driving one of these soon.
Yeah, I will.
At the current pace of reconstruction, Bergeron says Joseph will have plenty of time to learn that excavator. For Under the Sun, I'm Kenny Malone.
You are listening to Under the Sun.
I'm Dan Gretsch.
And I'm Alicia Zuckerman. This weekend, Under the Sun is devoting a full hour to the aftermath of the earthquake and how it affected life here in South Florida.
That's Saturday at noon and Sunday at 7 p.m.
To learn more, go to WLRNunderthesun.org.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Look for WLRN Under the Sun.